B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Sheriff's deputies say a man accidentally destroyed a trailer home in a fire while he was trying to scare away a family of raccoons. According to a Facebook post by the sheriff's office, a 38-year-old man was allegedly using drugs in the trailer when he became frustrated with a family of raccoons living under his house. Deputies say the man accidentally knocked over a candle during the commotion, which started a fire. Firefighters arrived on the scene to find the trailer home mostly engulfed in flames. No one else was home at the time, and no one was hurt.
Well, were the raccoons gone?
That's a good question. Deputies say that they have contacted the owners of the property about the incident. The investigation will be sent to the prosecutor's office for review. And deputies advise residents to be careful with candles. No word on the raccoons.
Lost my whole home, man. That's over $200. Mm-hmm.
Deputies took a naked ranch dressing covered teen into custody after they said he damaged a North Topeka business and crashed a car.
The ranch dressing covered.
The sheriff's office responded to a disturbance call around 3:30 a.m. Saturday at Petro Deli. When deputies got there, they found a naked 17-year-old man who they say was under the influence of a substance.
He was screaming, "I did not invent ranch dressing," right?
I didn't invent it, is what he was saying, yes. The teenager had covered himself in ranch dressing, damaged property inside the business, and then ran outside and drove off.
Does ranch dressing have the same abilities as that cloaking thing in Harry Potter?
Maybe invisibility? It does. Maybe that's what he was trying to do. I actually saw a real story from the ER where a mentally disturbed teen, he kept asking for pudding. They were holding him because they were waiting for a psychiatrist to get there. He kept asking for pudding, and he eventually smeared it all over his body because he thought it was going to make him invisible.
Oh, my God.
And it didn't work.
Maybe there's something to that.
They were out of ranch dressing.
What kind of pudding?
It was just the regular hospital chocolate pudding.
I'm still holding out hope.
The 17-year-old did not make it far. He crashed into a nearby pillar. Deputies took him into custody and then to a local hospital where he was later released to his parents. No injuries were reported. Last Friday, firefighters arrived at the scene of a DUI crash involving a Maryland State Police cruiser and a building. A Chevy pickup struck the police SUV first and then headed right into the East Coast Investments office building.
Jeez.
At that point, police apprehended the driver of the pickup, Dayton James Weber, who had just happened to be, this is the interesting part, he just happened to be a quadruple amputee.
Quadruple amputee able to drive the vehicle?
That is correct.
Wow, how does that happen?
He was charged with driving under the influence of alcohol, driving while impaired by alcohol, negligent driving, reckless driving, and failure to remain at the scene of an accident. That is a good question, Steve. Now, I've seen people without arms.
Yes.
Or people without legs that can drive or maybe have one appendage, but I don't know how you do it.
With nothing.
It depends maybe on the length of what you have as far as arms
go. Yes, that's probably part of it, and how big your dong is.
Okay, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I've never considered that but
I don't know, Kathy.
We don't live in this world.
Haven't we all at one point steered our cars with our penises?
All right. A report published by the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife details the bizarre and unfortunate fate of a bald eagle that was found floating face down in Highland Lake last July. There were no witnesses to the eagle's demise, but the suspect proved to be a deceased loon chick found close to the scene of the crime.
So they think the loon killed the eagle?
Yeah, it's a pretty wild story.
Norman, come watch this ass.
That's
a loon beating the piss out of an eagle. Don't see that much here up on Golden Pond.
Amazingly, this small waterfowl had managed
We've got bigger fish to fry. I just wanked it on the Zoom call.
Apparently the small waterfowl had...
Just give me a second here.
...had managed to pierce the bald eagle's heart with its slender beak.
That's a one-in-a-million shot. Yeah. That's a Steve Irwin shot.
Bringing the ferocious predator to a swift end, even though the loon itself had already suffered fatal injuries. The grisly discovery came about after John Cooley, a loon biologist, at the Loon Preservation Committee in New Hampshire.
Here comes that jackass.
Contacted another wildlife biologist about a deceased bald eagle. It had been spotted floating face down by Nat Woodruff, a walker visiting the lake. He had contacted the Maine game warden, who came and collected the bodies of both the eagle and the loon chick. A local woman in a nearby cabin had reported hearing a hullabaloo the previous night.
What's that hullabaloo I'm hearing outside?
Which they believe...
Nah, man, it's a loon fighting a bald eagle.
Which is...
What are you smoking, you crazy bitch?
The hullabaloo was believed to be consistent with agitated loon.
Huh.
So anyhow, they collected the specimens, they sent them off, the corpse was x-rayed to see if there was any evidence of the bird being shot, but no metal appeared on the image, even though there was a clear puncture wound on its chest. While loons, such as the chick found near the deceased eagle, are known to attack other birds using their dagger-like beaks as a spear, they found it perplexing that a juvenile chick could take down such a fierce predator.
Bald eagles!
Yes.
Eagles!
Sure enough, a necropsy of both birds found the puncture wound. Depth corresponded to the beak of the young chick, revealing that the eagle met its swift end as the tip of the bird's beak pierced its heart.
That's a money shot.
Isn't that wild?
That's as rare as you could possibly get, but he did it.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of like that stingray killing Steve Irwin.
That's what Steve said.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. You were looking for the sound effect.
I was looking for the sound effect. I was not paying attention.
I just paid attention to the show, you crazy bastard. Made that reference a while ago.
Oh, sugar.
Steve Irwin said it 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
I heard you say it. Well, I did. Shut up. Loons are actually a tranquil. It's a very nice
sound. Oh, it's amazing. Yeah.
And especially when they're killing the eagles.
Hearing that sound in the wild is beautiful. All right, we're going to do one more story, and then we will wrap it up. One of about 40 cows that escaped from a farm in Victoria, Australia, was found less than a mile away after wandering onto a resident's trampoline.
Yes.
It was on the trampoline, and it got stuck on there. This is a cow. Kay Lang said she spotted the cow on the trampoline outside her home Wednesday night and discovered the bovine was unable to stand up on the bouncy surface. Lang said a neighbor used a tractor to carefully lift the animal off the trampoline and contacted the cow's owner. She said, I don't know how long it took him to get them off, but we were back in bed by 3:30 a.m.
God, that could have been an utter catastrophe.
Thank you!
The animal's owner said about 40 cows had escaped earlier in the evening, and the majority had been rounded up before the trampoline discovery. There you go. That's what I have.
Poor thing. Just a quick question on that. When I saw the story when it originally appeared, was it one of those trampolines where they buried it at ground level?
It didn't look like it to me.
Yeah.
It looked like,
I always wanted to do that.
They would climb up onto a trampoline. Unless I saw the photo and didn't quite see the ground surrounded by it, but it looked like the cow was just like laying on the trampoline.
Right, because it's up fairly high.
Yeah, so I don't know. Very weird.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File podcast.
Fort Myers parent says there is such thing as overly cautious when it comes to COVID-19 safety. Lexington Middle School told Sheila Gale's 8th grade daughter to quarantine for 10 days because what they thought were COVID-19 symptoms, but mom says it was just that time of the month.
Oh, man.
Should be her period?
Yes. Her daughter went back to school today, but not before taking a trip to see her doctor. After she reported feeling tired, the district had required her to either quarantine until October 23rd or show proof that it wasn't COVID-19. So instead of dropping her off...
got cooter 19.
At school, Tuesday morning, Gail had to visit the physician's primary care for a doctor's note saying that her daughter's menstrual cycle caused the fatigue. Gail says Monday afternoon, her daughter told the school nurse she had just started her cycle and felt tired. No fever, no body aches, just tired.
She doesn't have a menstrual cycle. It's broken in the garage.
The nurse. The nurse gave the student a form indicating her fatigue could be related to COVID-19, so they had her go get checked with the doctor.
Wow. Yeah,
they're just being cautious, but maybe a little overly cautious. Here's another, thing that happened in courtesy of COVID-19. The Society of Vertebrate Paleontology, or SVP, hosted its annual conference digitally this year. The event took place between Wednesday and Saturday online due to the pandemic. But after certain presentations, attendees found that they couldn't use certain phrases and words in their questions, as certain words were filtered out by the conference's profanity filter. These are dinosaur people, right?
What the hell are they going to be cursing about?
University of Maryland.
Pterodactyls.
Paleontologist Thomas Holt Jr. made a spreadsheet documenting the various words that were blocked and shared it on Twitter, updating his tweet whenever another word was removed from the banned list. Banned words included bone, ball, stroke, wang, jerk, knob, stroke. Stroke's on there twice. I like stroke. Stream, erection, dike, crack, enlargement, lies, and beaver.
How do you even talk about the Wangosaurus?
Well, things like bone.
Yeah.
You know, they can't use the word bone.
These are archaeologists?
Yeah. University of Tennessee paleontologist Stephanie Drummler had posted about the issue on Reddit, writing in the part, "The platform we're using for the conference is apparently set up for business and industry meetings, not science." And
what about felching?
I don't know.
That one they allowed.
Did the dinosaurs do that?
Yeah, the Felchosaurus. Yeah. It was an armored, almost like the Stegosaurus.
Yeah, it had a long nose like a straw.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The Felchosaurus.
Sure. Oh, my God. I see it now.
What's that for?
I never knew the origin of the word felching. It apparently came from the Felchosaurus.
Felchosaurus.
All right, speaking of more coronavirus stuff, the pandemic has not deterred the Swiss from sending yodels echoing across their mountain valleys.
Oh, I thought you were talking about regular yodels.
But not like the snake suckers.
I like to unroll them.
A concert attended by 600 people is believed to have made one canton a European virus hotspot. What is a canton, by the way? Is that a town?
No, it's like a region, like a state.
At the late September yodeling event in the rural Schwyz canton.
Schwyz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
S-C-H-W-Y-Z. Yeah, Schwyz. Schwyz neat. People
just schwizzed in my pants.
People in the yodeling. People in the audience were asked to maintain social distancing, but mask wearing was not required.
Put on your mask, everybody.
The organizer, Beat Hegner, said, "We can't do anything about what happened with this yodeling group. We found out 9 days after the performances that several people from the group were infected. Now the pandemic has spread through the region with 1,238 cases compared to just 500 in mid-September. So they feel it was kind of like a super spreader event."
What does this mean to the competitive yodeling world?
It's a good question. It's going to cripple it, probably. On Wednesday alone, 94 people tested positive, twice as many as the day before. The overloaded cantonal hospital has asked people to begin wearing their masks and avoid gatherings, especially the yodeling ones.
Imagine if you're on the yodel ward.
Yeah.
When they're calling for help.
Oh, my God.
Yee-haw! Yee-haw!
I'll be right there.
Yee-haw!
I love that. This is a terrible story. The Danby House assisted living facility, where three employees were accused of inciting two female residents to fight each other last year, is facing a lawsuit filed by one of those residents. Attorneys for Betty Elaine Moore, a 75-year-old resident, filed a lawsuit in Superior Court against Danby House LLC. The women, Marilyn Laddish McKee, Tanisha Yvonne Tyson and Tanisha Deshaun Jordan were all indicted on misdemeanor charges of assaulting an individual with a disability. Yeah, according to documents.
And these were women they had fighting?
Yeah, prosecutors allege that the three women encouraged Moore and a 71-year-old resident to fight each other. Lawsuit alleges that the three women shared the videos with other people, some of whom posted the videos on YouTube.
I just want to go the distance.
Jordan recorded the fight and shared it with others. Tyson recorded a second incident in which McKee is alleged to have pushed Moore into her room. That video was also shared. Human Services and the lawsuit allege but the 71-year-old resident hit Moore repeatedly and choked her. The lawsuit alleges that the three workers did not intervene in the fight, failed to notify supervisors. The lawsuit also alleges that officials at Danby House, when told of the incident, did not contact police.
So I saw a report about assisted living facilities and nursing homes, and because usually you have other eyes on your beloved family members because you're going to visit them. Because this isn't the case. They've had all sorts of issues with stuff like this.
It's scary.
Yes.
You know, it's a terrible story. I hate to end on it, but we are going to end on that one.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File Podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.